coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions. Hello, hello, welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash. Today in our Survivor playlist, we are looking at Survivor Token Cheese, which is an absolute classic season. A lot of people consider it the best season to start out with, and for good reason. It's very simple. It doesn't have a lot of twists and turns. It doesn't even have a swap. There's no idol shenanigans. Everything's pretty straightforward. It also gave us two characters in particular who will be mainstays of the series and, like, absolute legends in their own right. And there's also plenty of returnees that come from this season, but there's still some people that I would still like to see a return from this season. We will get there. Without further ado, let's get into Survivor Token Cheese.
We are just trapped for hours, carrying pots and watermelons, and then we get here and it's like Sandy didn't do anything, and I was just like, great, you've been chilling here and I still gotta do stuff.
Carolina Eastwood. I feel like I remember Carolina Eastwood more from that horribly embarrassing David Murphy proposal than I do anything she actually did on the show. I can definitely understand why the rest of the tribe was annoyed by her. She never shuts up, she tells people what to do without them asking or really wanting help, and she has this really high mousy voice, and if I had to listen to that all day, I would be driven crazy. All in all, Carolina is an extremely unremarkable first boot and very easy to forget. Meh.
An educated woman, and I don't take crap from people.
And Coach comes over feeling like he's the expert. In real life, like, I would have broke it down, like, to his psyche, you know, and his insecurities and how he overcompensates. I would have really, like, got to him.
Candace Smith. I like Candace. She's kind of forgettable, but I liked her while she lasted. I liked her calling out Coach for his ego right away. She could have been a great character, but she was taken too soon to really say for sure, and she was basically invisible for that first episode. I want her to escape from there, but I don't think she can. I don't think I will remember her after I'm done this season. She's going in meh. Jerry Sims. Jerry was there. He was decently likable. But he got a tummy ache, and he talked about a cheeseburger can make him feel better, and then he was voted off. Not much to say about him. Meh.
You can't be happy about
this. I'm pissed. I am so pissed.
Sandy Bergen.
I know I'm a sex kid this morning.
Go
down my mind.
Oh, dear. Oh, boy.
From the start, Sandy is a fantastic character. It makes so much sense that she drives buses. She calls her own tribe Jalapao Jalapeno.
The first time Jalapeno, I don't know how to say that, whatever, okay, goes to tribal council.
And doesn't know what a pace is.
10 paces? I wonder what a pace is. All right, pace gods, give me a clue of how many pace, what's a pace?
And this is all in the first episode. She's wonderful. She's hilarious. She reminds me a lot of Kathy Schleckman with shades of Carolyn Weiger. I wish she lasted longer. While she has an incredible first episode, she really doesn't do that much after that.
Oh, beans. Just beans, white beans, white beans.
And pinto, I think.
They are farting beans. They are farting beans, honey.
But she's just wonderful enough to land her in Delightfully Crazy.
My tribe mates are not aware that I'm gay. I haven't told them, only because I feel like in the culture that we live in, there's nothing really to gain, or not much to gain, by people finding out that you are gay. I don't like hiding it, though. I would like to be able to have those conversations. When we're talking about girls, I wouldn't mind, you know, making, like, Spencer, what type of guy do you like or something, but I know that that's not the best option for me in the game at this point, so. Guys like JT, typical Southerners, you know, people who are generally not quite as accepting of homosexuality, and I don't know if he's one of those guys, but they are maybe inclined to get rid of somebody like me just based on the fact that I am gay, and that's disappointing, and it's one of the reasons why I keep it a secret.
Spencer Dumb. Spencer barely exists. I mean, he has some good content about him being in the closet and not being comfortable enough to come out to his tribe, but then he gets voted off, so meh.
What part do you love?
I like the sneakiness of it too, because I'm not very sneaky back home, you know? So you get to be sneaky in a new environment.
Oh, really?
Sneaky. It's interesting.
Yeah. Sydney Wheeler. She's immediately labeled a flirt by Sandy, and other than that, there's nothing to say about her. Man, this token cheese cast is really top-heavy, huh? Meh.
Okay, sure. Kids, turn off the TV. I have some bad news about...
Joe.
No!
Joe? Joe Dowdle. Joe and his nasty pus leg turned me off so much. Other than that, what the hell can you really say about Joe fucking Dowdle? Meh.
Look at the snake skin.
That's enormous.
That's big, man.
That's kind of disgusting, actually.
Yeah, God, it'll be a good boa for you.
A little decoration. Oh, thank you. I feel pretty, finally.
Brendan Sinnott. Ah, the dragon himself. The man that spawned the iconic and hilarious nickname that lasted through 3 seasons. I think his idea to create an exile alliance was a great one. Even if it didn't amount to anything come to merge with him being the merge boot and all, he did make it a little obvious after all. I mean, I feel like he did have agency in the game, and while he makes some mistakes along the way, leading to him being an obvious merge boot, he did have multiple ways to the end if he survived that vote. Not only did he have the Exile Alliance, but if Tim Beerus stays strong and Pagong's JT, Steven, and Taj, I think Brendan has a shot of going to the end if he can pull over Debbie and Aaron to take out Tyson and Coach, but that's not what happened. Instead, he admits he has the idol, doesn't use it, and he goes home. I'm gonna have to put him in fun downfall.
I'm somebody that can make you laugh in an environment like this where everybody's dirty and tired. I think people appreciate that.
You can look if you want.
But when it comes down to it, I want that $1 million. Exotic, expensive furs on my shoulder, jewels on these pretty fingers. Talking big time. I'll wear a tiara, a man tiara. Do they make those?
Tyson Apostle.
Who am I? Oh, that question. Who am I? Pretty well balanced individual, I'd say.
Let's win!
We'll see what happens when I get home and everyone disowns me. Probably have to move somewhere else, somewhere less Mormon-y.
Tyson, my favorite Mormon. He just comes off as this cocky, overconfident, yet incredibly hilarious and lovable character pretty much immediately.
So, I kick ass like I always do, and if any ladies want my phone number, I guess, ask.
He competes with Courtney when it comes to Funniest Survivor.
Tall, spiky hair, model boy. Love him. He just seems like a good guy to have around.
The younger brunette, she comes off to me as kind of being the bitch.
I love how he just smiles and nods and agrees with everything Coach says, and it's how he becomes Coach's number one.
You know what? When he told me I was like his assistant coach, more power to me, you know? But he has a little schoolboy crush on me. So if I just keep plugging away, I'll eventually make Coach. He may promote me. I don't know if I'll have my own team or we'll be co-coach or whatever, but people are going to start calling me that. I'm actually going to demand it. If we ever get put on separate tribes in this game, I will demand that the other tribe calls me coach too.
Him in his loincloth going Onga Bunga is one of the funniest visuals in the entire show, as well as him attempting to twerk.
I'm going tribe all over everybody's asses.
Dude, this is insane, man. Oh, this is insane!
Look at how ripe a tan I'm gonna get on my ass cheeks now.
Imagine if I single-handedly bring the loincloth back to civilized society.
Onga Bunga, Onga Bunga, Onga Bunga.
He's just such a bony yet muscular dude. His lanky frame is just so cartoonish. The visual is hilarious. Yeah, there's some toxicity and dickishness with how he treats Sierra.
I like to see Sierra scramble and mope. I think it's funny because I've never liked Sierra. To me, she's of no worth. I mean, her parents probably love her. I can't imagine her boyfriend's that cool.
But the fact that Sierra lasts longer than him is such sweet justice, and Tyson is just a great natural heel, like MJF levels of natural pretty boy smug, but so hilarious that you can't help but like him.
You can look me in my sweet blue eyes all day, and I'll tell you sweet nothings, and you'll believe all of them.
While Tyson doesn't last that long comparatively, he still left a huge impression on me on my first watch, and I remembered how captivating he was as a character on my rewatch. Yes, he's a dick, but he's a dick you love to root against, and he knows he's a dick.
Anytime there's a blind side, it's pretty awesome, just the look on somebody's face. I think Aaron wants to be here so bad that her getting blindsided would look really cool. I love seeing people cry when you crush their dreams.
He's not one of these guys trying to do good or be honorable. He's just out there for a fun time and to see people cry and fail.
Tyson, you be careful, you'll fall off.
Don't boss me around, lady.
I just don't want you to break your pretty little face.
That's true. It is my moneymaker.
I know.
He's just so matter of fact that you can't help but love him for his bluntness.
Last night at Tribal, we established leader, kind of. So I guess Brendan or Coach is the leader. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I don't really care.
He's a good favorite.
Said, do you think Aaron will be upset enough from Exile to bring her on to 4 to get the numbers back? Did you or did you guys not say that? Because I will walk out of this game right now if you look me in the eye and tell me that you didn't say that.
Bye-bye.
You are such a liar!
Sierra Reed. I mostly just felt bad for Sierra. She was kind of bullied by Tyson and Coach, and then Coach gaslit her into thinking it was just tough love. Sierra, however, is not a good player, but you can't help but root for her. She has it tough the entire time, but she is surprisingly tough and resilient, being on the bottom the entire time.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, Jesus. After 3 days of being a loser when I first got here, I'm proud of myself. I formed an amazing alliance. It's really quite brilliant. We're going to take over the whole world. That's right.
The entire episode after the Brendan boot is just full of Tyson and Coach just bullying the crap out of Sierra for a failed vote. I'm not sure if I should fault Sierra a little bit for trying to go on this damage control path, where she's just inserting himself into conversations with Tyson and Coach, where instead of forgiving her, they're just piling onto her. I would have just tried to avoid all conversation with them. She was kind of the one pursuing positive enforcement from them, which she wasn't going to get. I honestly don't understand how they didn't drag her along as a goat, though. Brendan was her only locked jury vote. They viewed her as the drama starter at camp when she really wasn't. Still, you feel bad enough for her to consider her an underdog.
Big bowl of French fries.
$40.
$40 to Taj.
$50.
$20 increments.
$70.
$20. You're a principal, not a math teacher. It's okay.
My math teachers will tell you that too. Whatever, I want to go up on Taj.
Debbie Beebe. Ah, Debbie, the school principal who didn't understand math. Debbie is like a cool wine mom. There's not much to say about her other than the hilarious scenes of her not understanding what increments of 20 means, or just being wild and fun with the tribe. She's kind of a psycho. The way she flips out on Sierra, even though Sierra was making perfect sense, was so ridiculous, because Debbie clearly didn't want to accept the facts that Taj, Steven, and JT weren't turning on each other, and Aaron wasn't with them either. She was acting like a child, while the much younger Sierra was acting like the adult. Whenever she gets called out for her shit, she just cries, but she's such a good villain, where it comes off as heelish rather than genuinely annoying. She's mildly entertaining. Benjamin Coach Wade.
The Dragon Slayer has vanquished the dragon once and for all. Ah!
The Dragon Slayer. This is Pete Coach. He just immediately attracted to Tyson, as he said, not in a sexual way.
Tyson, he's always cracking a joke. One of a kind. I mean, that's probably what attracts me to him so much. You know, not in a sexual way.
And they became the sexist power duo of Tambira. How smug of a look Coach gives any time he's proven right about something just cracks me up. His entire I'm a Samurai Warrior vibe is absolutely hysterical. There's a reason why he's one of the most over-the-top characters to ever be on the show. Ah!
Way to go, Joe! Oh, my God!
Ah!
down. JT has won individual immunity.
Oh my God, man. Jesus, are you okay, man? You did awesome.
The hard-headed. Get up. Come on.
Are you okay? My back was fast up there.
Can you stand up?
You have no idea if he's telling me the truth, he's delusional, or he's completely self-aware and just a brilliant troll. His Amazon story is absolutely hilarious considering the little sound effects they throw in the middle of his story.
Zara lifted in. I had a military helicopter drop me off a couple of feet from the ground up in the Peruvian border. And I look over and I think I see some indigenous people that are sitting there creeping through the bush. And at first I counted six or seven of them. And they've got their bow and arrows drawn. They jerk me out of the kayak. They tie me up. They tie my hands behind my back. They tie my feet. They drag me into this hut. They tie me to this stake. And they take turns beating me with a club. I don't know how long it lasted. Sometimes I blacked out. I knew they were about ready to kill me. I thought it was worth it. That was, and I switched out the tank. I got in the kayak and I dipped in the water. And I paddled like hell, and I paddled so hard that my hands started bleeding. I just can't describe the feeling of being stalked by another human being.
The man wrote a book about it, too. You have no idea if the guy is for real or not. That's what makes Coach such a fascinating character on his first season.
The wind blows this way, predominantly. But when there's a storm coming, it switches directions and turns this way. But it doesn't look too crazy because it looks like the clouds are breaking up on the horizon. I think it's going to go just past us.
Coach is kind of a jackass.
He's like the Steven Seagal of Survivor. You have no idea when he's actually telling the truth since his life is apparently filled with so many badass adventures.
The last thing that we should do, and I beg all of you to not go off in groups and say, man, you know, Aaron really screwed it up today, or Debbie really screwed it up today, because that'd be the worst thing we could do. People are just panicked in the challenges. Have you seen Sierra?
Yeah,
she screamed. She's like, I can't hear. Every time. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I mean, who's worse? Is it Aaron? Is it, Sierra? I mean, obviously, I want to get Aaron out immediately.
He's out of his mind. He is so quick to trust JT and basically gives away his numbers advantage to him. That's the honorable thing to do, apparently. But he is his own downfall, and it's great. Coach is the villain who desperately wants to be a hero. You could honestly compare him to Gaston, really. It's amazing the depths of this man. Like, what even is he?
It goes like this.
Okay.
And then I cue the strings. Ready? And that means I want a little crescendo and then a decrescendo.
Who is this jackass?
Where did they find this man? How or why did he become a soccer coach? Why is his loved one his assistant coach? What in the John McGurk is this shit? I also love how his assistant coach comes all this way just to help him stretch.
Oh! Yeah. We are not doing weird sexual positions, by the way. Just so I haven't had my back cracked.
Imagine putting your coworker as your loved one. Not a spouse, not a parent, not a sibling, not a friend. Nah, just a guy you work with. It's so bizarre. He's so melodramatic when he's on and gets back from exile. With his cane and his back spasms.
We'll now bring in Coach, returning from Exile Island.
I just love how Taj calls it out too. Coach is a ridiculous character who, ironically enough, was this dragon Survivor kept trying to chase with its casting in future seasons. Nobody ever was Coach 1.0, and nobody ever will be Coach 1.0. While he can be insufferable, how great of TV he is makes him, without a doubt, one of the most iconic Survivor villains of all time. Coach 1.0 is amazing. He's going in favorite.
Did you college or?
college and NFL.
Nice. Eddie, last name, what's your last name?
George.
Eddie George?
You're married to Eddie George?
Mm-hmm. The Ohio State Buckeye? Mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winner?
Mm-hmm.
That's your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
Taj Johnson George.
Itchy. Yeah.
I've never brought such pleasure to a woman before.
Oh, my God. You're doing it, baby.
I would have flipped out over finding out her husband was Eddie George, too. For those like Fishback and don't understand why they were so blown away that she was married to Eddie George is one of the greatest running backs of the 1990s, which is saying a lot because the 90s were stacked on amazing running backs. Long story short, Eddie George is a fucking man. Anyway, football fanboyisms aside, Taj is one of the best characters to never return on Survivor. She has this motherly Cherie Fields vibe to her where she's also just a great narrator, and her confessionals are usually good.
The little three-year-old, she fell off the table and hit her head, and I just went into mommy mode. I ran over to her, I picked her up, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be okay. I had to control my emotions because looking at her, I saw my son. When they told me she was 3 years old, I'm like, this is my baby. This is my baby. And I missed him so much at that point. So when I picked her up, I just held her tight and I just imagined her being him. But she definitely made me realize how much I miss my family and I will never go away this long ever again. Ever, ever, ever.
Taj is the best kind of pop star to be on the show, where she's rich and famous enough to be used to this life of high-end luxury, but also niche enough to not be part of the mainstream self-conscious. Like, it makes sense that a tribe full of white people would have no idea who Sisters with Voices are. It wouldn't be the same as if, like, a member of TLC or Destiny's Child was on the show. Taj broke my heart when she broke down crying because she felt ugly. Like, I wanted to reach out to the TV and hug her.
Are you alright?
No, I'm fine. I just feel so ugly.
It must have been really hard last night. God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh.
I've never felt so ugly before in my life.
Yep, look.
Stephen came down and he talked to me and they made me feel better, but... I'm just having a moment. Everyone has their moments out here, and today is mine. I'm just more determined now. I cannot go home empty-handed looking like this.
I'm glad Stephen let her cry into his arms. She needed that. Poor woman. We all have insecurities, and it really sucks when emotions force them out in the open like that. It was a really human moment that connected me to her. She was just amazing for her entire run. Like, the way she almost ripped Jeff's arm off at the auction after finding out her husband was back at camp was absolutely hilarious.
See you back at the camp.
You hear that last line?
I did.
There's one line on there. Might have been a little hard to hear. There's one line.
See you back
at
the camp!
Oh my God.
He just looked like an angel. He looked like a big old muscle bound. I just wanted to take him to the side and have a conjugal visit.
Tanya's is just an incredible woman. She's going in love.
Before I came out here, I went through a really terrible breakup. I can't even carry on normal conversations with people anymore. It makes it hard to talk about everything because it's gonna come up. And this is what happens when it comes up. And I don't want to do this out here.
Erin Lobdell. Erin is absolutely hilarious, and I'm really glad they put her on the same tribe as Coach.
I would not be surprised if when this game is all said and done, Coach said, gotcha, I'm an accountant,
I've never left Nebraska.
Erin is a character that seems to get written off, but I think she's hilarious. She's kind of like a Courtney Yates light where she doesn't do anything but make fun of everyone else on the tribe, and coaches her slightly less creepy punching bag genre bear. I mean, I'm pissed she got kept over Taj, but I'm not going to act like that's against Erin. She doesn't serve much to the general plot or the power structure of the game, but she's underrated as a narrator and as a commentator on other people in the game.
As much as Sierra just annoys me to death, and I think that she's so dumb, she's right. Everything she says is totally true.
She's up there with Kelly Goldsmith. They're similar characters. Erin's pretty great. They're going to throw her in a hilarious.
Got some booty hanging out on first date.
You know what? This is going to be nice for the ladies from back home.
When I saw at least one sort of good old-fashioned Southern boy, I thought, I'm a little bit screwed. Don't really see us connecting on too many levels. I don't know how much she's going to like the anxious New York Jew.
Steven Fishback. I forgot how wonderful a character Fishback was on the season.
We have the strung-out old lady, and it is sort of encouraging to have her because you know you're not going to be the first to go.
He's such a rootable nerd, and you want him to win over JT so bad, but you know it's never going to happen. Him and JT's friendship throughout the season is probably the most iconic bromance on the entire show, and it's incredibly rare to see a duo like them go all the way to the end without ever turning on each other. Even though Steven wanted to, but never had an opportunity. I know Jeff Probst dismissed their friendship by calling it a 39-day friendship, but no, they had a special bond that you don't find everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's Survivor. It matters. Shut up, Jeff. Steven is another one who I would absolutely kill to see play again, since he's one of the few middle school players who didn't completely embarrass himself on Second Chance. It's nice to see a nerdy guy who's good at challenges, too. The way he hacked that one memorization challenge was awesome.
Jeff, is that right? Steven thinks he has it?
I got it.
If he did it, he did it with only one look at the symbols. Steven is right! Steven wins immunity!
Oh, God, I don't want immunity! I can't even move it!
Steven, I gotta ask you. You memorized all 10 symbols in one pass.
I made each symbol have it be a number. So I had plus is 1, divided by is 4, times is 3. And I know the brain can remember a 7-digit number, because that's why phone numbers are 7 digits. So I divided it into 2 numbers, and just remember those 2 numbers.
Check out the big brain on
Steven.
You're a smart motherfucker, that's right.
Shami gets completely steamrolled at Final Tribal Council by JT, and now the entire Survivor community thinks of him as being a bad Final Tribal Council performer when he really wasn't. All in all, Steven Fishback, the nerdy New Yorker who had a bromance with a good old Alabaman, belongs in entertaining.
Next question. Who would you trust with your life?
Oh,
this is a gimme.
Everybody reveal.
This is a gimme, my friend.
Everybody says JT. Correct answer is JT. Everybody got it right.
I don't know why everyone trusts me so much, but in this game, I'm not so trustworthy. And it seems like people would catch on to that. It may be the accent, I don't know.
James JT Thomas. JT made me glad I put closed captioning on. That southern mumble, I swear. I absolutely love how everyone just falls head over heels for JT. It makes him the most obvious jury threat, which he is, as he plays the first perfect game. He's just the Super Saiyan version of the good old boy that everyone likes. And even Brendan's talking about immediately wanting to throw his entire game for him.
If I take JT in the finals with me, he's gonna beat me.
I know it's
crazy, but for me, winning in this game is about getting to an outcome at the end of the game, which is gonna satisfy me. If he wins it, that's like me winning this game.
Excuse me, what?
I would have loved to see more content about how he got these people to fall so hardly in love with him, but we just kind of have to accept that this guy has maxed out charm buffs. He has an absolutely amazing Final Tribal Council performance where he just sweeps the hardest of the entire jury if he didn't already have them, and he takes home the gold in a perfect game. He doesn't really do much for me, he's kind of milquetoast, but by definition, he for sure belongs in Golden Boy.
JT snags another one for Jean-Paul.
Oh,
JT has lost a tooth.
Come
JT!
Wait, JT, did you just throw it?
Yeah.
Let's find the tooth. Let's find the tooth. You're going to want that tooth.
Is that it? You want this back, JT?
I don't matter. Here, I'll hold it and give it to me.
My precious.
All right, and that was Survivor Token Tunes. In my opinion, a very good season, incredible. But it's not quite the top-tier season that some people may rank it as. I usually put it, like, just outside the top 10. But it's still a great season that you should definitely check out on a rewatch if you get the time. But Coach and Tyson are just so top tier in my opinion. They just transcend the entire season. It's crazy how this season spawned both of them. They're two of my favorite Survivor characters of all time. And they will go on to play 3 more seasons for Tyson and 2 more seasons for Coach. And JT and Fishback return. And I don't think anyone else does from this season, actually, now that I think about it. But anyway, that if you got this far, thank you so much for watching. You're amazing. Next on the docket, we have Survivor Samoa. This season, in my opinion, is the mark between old school Survivor and new school Survivor. I believe Russell changed the game and brought us single-handedly into the new era, and that's why I think he's a fantastic character. But you can hear me talk more in depth about it in Samoa. I will see you there. Goodbye.